Grandpa.
I don't see Milt on here yet, but I know it's kind of late in the evening, so why don't we go ahead and get started? Thank you all for joining us this evening. Got a number of things to kind of go over. Got some special guests joining us this evening. Bree Arrowwood, the head of our recruitment department, and Lauren Pepple, the director of HR, are here. So I will turn the floor over to them first so that they can go over a few items.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Karamadi. Hi, everyone. This is Lauren Pepple. I think I've had interaction with everyone at some point, and I'm glad to do that again and have time on this call. So I appreciate that. So one item that Bree and myself wanted to touch base with you all on is kind of a new initiative and kind of part of our ongoing commitment to transparency and to attracting great talent to AmeriWound is to get feedback and request you share your experiences working for AmeriWound on kind of like our online company review sites like Glassdoor, Indeed, Google, etc. This helps us all in many ways. Number one, providing valuable feedback, which is always welcomed. Providing, balanced, honest, and constructive reviews for future candidates to look at. It's a big part of recruitment nowadays, as Bree will speak to in a moment. A lot of our candidates are, everything is online, right? Looking for jobs, looking for reviews, looking to get feedback from current and former employees. So it's very important, and we want to make sure that we represent ourselves in a positive way. So I'll be reaching out, from HR to request feedback from you with kind of direct links and some information if you so choose to provide feedback on any of these forums. And of course, it's appreciated. It will be anonymous as usual on these sites. But we really hope that it will help future candidates understand our culture through your experiences, which are very important. We have a lot of tenured employees here, both on the provider side and as well on the corporate side, that I think will be able to provide valuable feedback and information that will help guide us not only with recruitment, but also keep us on track and understand where we may need to look a little further to grow and develop some improvement areas for ourselves. So, that being said, I'll pass this over to Bree, just to give a little bit more of her insights from a recruitment standpoint and how this is super important, not just for recruiting, more recruiting candidates, but also, it is a bit self-serving, right? We want to know what you think. And this is a valuable resource to do that. So, Bree?
Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, Dr. Karamadi. I was scrolling through the names. I'm familiar with most of you, as I think I helped bring you on board. But for those that I don't know, my name is Brianna Arrowwood. I am the Physician Re and Provider Recruitment Manager. As Lauren touched base, the internet is where everyone is gathering their resources and trying to understand if they're making a smart decision, a good decision to transition to a new role. So, in recruitment, that is ever so important for there to be a positive light on current employees, former employees, really what our future candidates are looking for as far as being an organization of choice or an employer of choice for them to select us. So I'm here to help Lauren in these efforts to just really kind of raise awareness, raise branding image, so that we can attract new and like-minded candidates to help us continue to grow. We've seen huge expansion and growth in all of our territories and have hired an enormous amount of providers, and we would love to continue to do that. So if there's any way that I can help, obviously I'll be helping Lauren, I'll be helping Joe in our marketing. But if there's any help that I can provide to any of you, we also have our provider referral program that is for our current providers that refer a candidate to join our teams. So I'm happy to go over any of that information that or any answer any questions that people might have for me in regards to recruitment and the importance of this. So I appreciate the time, and hopefully if anyone needs me, you can find me in Outlook. Happy to jump on a call with you as well.
Thank you. Thank you both Lauren and Bree. I'll open the floor for any questions.
Thanks, Dr. Karamadi. And, if there's nothing on here, I will be reaching out and, kind of independently over the next couple of months. Any questions, comments, please let me know. And again, as Bree said, not only is this important for our recruitment efforts, but it also helps provide us with valuable feedback. And that's always welcome. We get that data, and we can share that data, and we can prioritize it. So thank you in advance.
Thank you to you both. One thing that I wanted to go over tonight was, the criteria for an encounter. And I know this happens to other individuals. This has happened to me where you're sent a text of a photo for a wound and asked to either make an assessment or a treatment recommendation. It is very clear, and we've had our billing team look at this over and over again, just because the rules continue to change and develop. But an encounter for a encounter to be billable, there needs to be some sort of direct patient interaction, whether that's in person, whether that's via telemedicine. Those are acceptable forms of interactions for a billable visit. An assessment based on a photo or some other media, video, whatever that may be, unfortunately is not. And so, when you're given those types of images to review to make patient recommendations, perhaps, the easiest or the quickest thing might be to set up a quick televisit. But in terms of, a billable encounter, that, really would not suffice. And so if you are going to, make an assessment based on just a photo alone, that sort of note and documentation needs to be clearly spelled out that this was not, a true, patient interaction, and that this, these orders or this, note was based on that media. Otherwise, if that is billed as such, that's a fraudulent claim, and that's something that could get both you as the practitioner and the practice into a bigger situation. So it's something that I wanted to review because I know I'm sure you guys all get texts of pictures and things like that for wounds, and so want to make sure that everybody is clear in understanding that it is not considered an encounter. Any questions about that? All right. The other thing that I wanted to briefly go over is just to make sure that everybody is aware that we do take attendance and we do record these monthly sessions. Unfortunately, as much as we would like to have everybody on every call and have participation and interaction with everybody, it's understandable that sometimes you may not be able to make the meeting. Usually within a day or so, we do have the recording uploaded to the portal. There is actually a provider portal where you can access the previous calls to kind of get filled in on the information that was discussed. The only thing is that when you do listen to the portal, we do again take attendance for reviewing the portal as well. So if you could either email myself or Melissa, just notifying us that you took a listen, and if you have any additional questions, we'd be certainly more than happy to review anything discussed. So just want to make sure that everybody is aware that this does exist in case you are unable to attend the live session. Any questions about any of that? All right. If there are no questions about that, then Melissa, I will turn the floor over to you.
Thank you. I just have a few documentation and reminders to review with everybody. First, if you're going to change a wound etiology or classification, make sure you're being collaborative with each facility. Don't just go in and change something from, arterial to pressure. Make sure that you're really talking to the facility staff so they understand why you're documenting what you're documenting. And just a reminder that not all wounds on the feet are pressure. They can be diabetic, they can be arterial. So just keep those things in mind. Documentation when it comes to addressing same stables and declines. Remember that each same stable must be addressed on the third visit, and all declines must be addressed on the date of service noted. If you need any helpful hints on how to address a decline, I have a cheat sheet that I can send you. Just reach out and let me know. When you're addressing a same stable or a decline, it doesn't necessarily have to be a treatment change. It can be a different intervention. Last, biologic documentation always needs to include the correct serial number, lot number, and sizes. We're seeing more and more that these items are missing, or one component is missing in our documentation. You also must include all wastage, either zero wastage or the percentage or the amount of wastage that you actually waste. There are going to be changes to the protocols coming very soon. We had an education session with one of our vendors last week, and there are pretty notable changes that are coming down the pike. Probably one of the biggest ones is a venous wound actually has to be observed for 90 days, not just 30 days, and you have to use the correct compression. It's got to be considered therapeutic. So TED hose would be therapeutic, your 3M Cobain 3-layer, but not ACE wraps anymore. So that's probably one of the biggest changes to our protocols that you'll see. Last is a Prima update. We still don't have the wound form fixed in a Prima. So hopefully the new one will be out soon. We're just still working with a Prima on some last minute glitches. MIPS, we are down the home stretch for this year. I appreciate everything everybody is doing. Keep in mind, we do have to submit as a provider group, not individual providers. So if you're not kind of holding up, you're under the bargain, you are impacting the ability to provide possible incentives or raises to your coworkers as well as yourself. So just keep those things in mind. And that's all I have for this evening.
Thank you, Melissa. Any questions about any of those matters?
I had a quick question. So ACE wraps are not alone aren't considered compression wraps, but if they're combined with other, say, like multi-layer wraps, like multi-layer, like say put alginate in a foam or something else, that still isn't compression. That still isn't 30 to 40 millimeters of mercury of compression.
That is, they are not considering ACE wraps therapeutic compression, not at any level.
Okay. And tubi grips, though, like when I
Tubi
look on the
grip
back
does
of the
not.
box of the tubi grip, it shows, or the MetaGrip actually, it shows like that you can increase the level by combining two or more sizes to get to 30 to 40 millimeters of mercury.
That's
Is that?
so they're not the only ones that were mentioned as actually acceptable therapeutic measures for compression were TED hose, like Jope stockings, the three-layer like Cobain wraps that they use. And I know Dr. Karamati will chime in too, because when you increase that compression, then you have to make sure that we're doing ABIs, because a lot of our patients do have mixed disease, the venous and arterial together. So, Dr. Karamati, you want to chime in about that?
Sure. So the problem with the ACE wraps and the tuba grips is that the compression is not consistent. They're easily stretched out. One person wraps it tighter than the next. And so you don't really get that consistent compression. That's the other thing is that remember that about a quarter of the patients with venous disease will also have some degree of arterial insufficiency. So before you do put on that tighter wrap, it is important that you rule out, arterial insufficiency. So make sure you are doing, a more complete vascular exam, ABIs, Doppler exams, whatever, you have available, before you put those wraps on. So that's all going to be kind of, new for the treatment of the venous ulcers in terms of, the biologics. If you don't think that this wound is really going to classify or qualify for the biologics, then you can certainly use other, means of treatment that you feel appropriate, or if you think the patient is going to be more compliant, just remember that this is specifically for the use of biologics. So if you're going to go down that pathway, then you might want to get, these studies and things like that earlier on so that you can do the appropriate compression and, document that as a failed means of therapy before proceeding to the biologics.
Can you review
Thank
the cutoffs for different type of compression? Like, is it pretty standard? Like, if the ABI is 0.8 or above, you can do like full compression, and then lower than that, you do reduced or light compression. And then obviously 0.5, I think, is the cutoff. But like, what is the type of compression that would be considered light, being on one of the newer people?
Sure. So really an ACE wrap or a tuba grip is going to be pretty much the only thing you're going to want to use without having that vascular knowledge. So if you think the patient is not going to be compliant, or if you really only just need a light degree of compression, that's pretty much really all you're going to have at your disposal. If you're going to use anything with any more, graded compression, then you should have that vascular exam. I would probably shoot for an ABI of at least, 0.8 or 0.9. If you're getting lower than that, then I would be a bit cautious about the degree of compression that you use. If you're getting kind of below that range, that's probably where you should, be consulting vascular and getting their input on the situation, to help manage those things. Any other questions? All
Milt,
right.
do you have anything for us this evening?
Yeah, I'm just going to reiterate or add to what everyone's covered very well. So I'll start first with on the biologics again, reiterate that. From a reimbursement standpoint, both for the company and for you as a provider, if the things that Melissa mentioned, the serial number, any of that kind of information is not completed, or if you're using, let's say you're doing a carry forward from a prior one, which has happened a few times, we're not going to get reimbursed. It's a cost to us. You're not going to get reimbursed as a result. And it's a very costly item that we're going to, have to eat. So we ask your assistance in making sure that that's handled properly, and we'll work on ways to maybe improve that process and make it a little more expedient. But right now, just make sure you please document exactly, the latest serial number and, any other pertinent information in that, and that should smooth out the process as much as possible. Secondly, in terms of the documentation, we want to make sure that when you do any kind of procedure, let's say debridements, that you're really capturing that and not missing out on any of that. Sometimes we've seen some situations where it seems to be not completely or properly documented, and it will impact, again, yours as well as our reimbursement. So I'm not speaking from the qualitative, I'm speaking from that standpoint. Melissa has addressed the other. And then lastly, on MIPS, as Melissa pointed out, it's really a team effort. A few years back, we got a nice bump and we increased the provider fee schedules as a result. It went up about 5% across the board. That used to be lower. And the last couple of years, we've been dangerously almost to the point of going the other way, because the way MIPS works is you can get up to a certain percent increase or decrease, or it could be neutral. We ended up luckily at the last minute coming in neutral. But we're looking for the increase so that we can also pass that along to all of you. But it takes everyone's cooperation to make that happen. And so we would, greatly appreciate everyone's participation, in making sure that we can do that. And you will all benefit. Those are, my, main points here.
All right. Thank you very much, Milt. Again, or to anybody that may have any questions about anything discussed this evening.
Are there some new folks, I think, on this call that can be introduced?
Oh, Dr. Zamani is on, Dr. Karamani.
Welcome, Dr. Zamani.
Welcome.
I think everybody else has been on a call already.
Oh, and one
Oh,
last.
hi. Sorry, I'm on being so I didn't realize I wasn't saying anything out loud. Hi.
Okay. I do have one other thing. We have, and I'm not sure if I don't see if is she on this call. We've added a new state that we've starting services in. That's Missouri. We have a new provider, a physician, who is covering initially St. Louis area. Just the that's an FYI that there is now another state that Amerwin is servicing.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us this evening. If anything does come up, please feel free to reach out, or if you have any other topics of discussion you'd like to be put on the agenda for a future call, please let us know.
Thank
Thank you,
you.
everyone. Good night.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.